Masechet Sanhedrin Perek Zayin, Mishnah Tet. The next sin that Mishnah Dalet mentioned was if a person has relations, commits adultery with a Na'ara HaMe'orasa. Na'ara is, there are three stages in the development of a young woman. She's a Ketana until she's 12 years old and hits puberty. Once she hits that point, she is a Na'ara. She is on the next stage for a period of 6 months, and after those 6 months pass, she is a bogeret, which is a full-fledged adult. So she has to be a na'ara over here, and she also has to be a me'orasa. She has to be somebody engaged, but not married halachically. That means the stage of irusin happened, but the nisuin never happened. A regular case of adultery, the sentence of death happens with strangulation. Here, specifically, with the Na'ara HaMe'orasa, the punishment would be stoning. We'll elaborate on when this applies. Haba'al Na'ara HaMe'orasa. If somebody has relations with a Na'ara HaMe'orasa, an engaged Na'ara, Eno Hayav Achitehen Na'ara. He would only be liable to get stoned if she was the age of a Na'ara, that 6 month period. Betula. She also never had relations with a man. Me'orasa. She was engaged, but not fully married to that person. V'hi bebet aviha, and she's living in her father's house. Ba'u aleha shenayim. If two men went with her, had relations with her, with the na'ara me'orasa, harishon b'skila, the first man who went with her would be obligated to be stoned because at the time that he went with her first, she was a betula. She never had relations with the man. V'asheni b'henek. And the second one is put to death by strangling because she wasn't within that category of a na'ara me'orasa anymore. She had relations with the first man. So now when she went with the second man, she wasn't considered to be a na'ara me'orasa. Masechet Sanhedrin, Perek Zayin, Mishnah Yod. The next sin we're going to be talking about is the Mesit, a person who persuades somebody else to worship an idol. That person would receive Sekila. Mishnah says, HaMesit, somebody who's persuading another person to worship an idol, Zehedyot, HaMesit, Et HaHedyot. We're talking about a regular person who's persuading another regular person. In other words, we're not talking about a prophet, and we're not talking about the people who were convinced being a whole town. We're talking about a regular person. In that other type of case, it would be a punishment of strangulation. If it was a Navi Sheked, or if it was a full town, that would be strangulation. But here, where it's a regular person trying to persuade another regular person, that punishment would be stoning. How would a person start persuading another person to worship an idol? Amad lo yesh yid'a b'makom peloni. He would tell him, there's a god in a certain place. Kach ochelet, kach shota, kach metiva, kach meria. This is what it eats, this is what it drinks. This is how it rewards those people who worship him, and this is how it punishes those people who do not worship him. And then he would continue into actually trying to draw him into the idol worship. But that's how he would start the conversation. Kol haive mitoche batorah, en machminin alehin, chutz mizon. All the cases of the Torah where we execute somebody, we don't hide witnesses to catch them in the act. What actually has to happen to execute them, and we've said it before, but Bet Din rarely ever fits the criteria to murder somebody. We're talking about the last few Pirakim as if it's common, but the Bet Din would very rarely execute somebody. Here, in general, they would have to warn somebody first before he committed the sin, and they would have to tell him the punishment that he was going to do. The witnesses would also have to be present when the warnings are being given by other people. So the witnesses who are going to see the crime have to be there during the warnings, and they all have to be around. But in this case, when somebody is trying to persuade somebody to worship Avodah Zarah, even if there's no warning at all, we would put this person to death. Because the Torah treats it in a very, very strict way. The Pasuk says about this type of person, V'lo tahmol, v'lo techase alav. Don't have any pity on him, and don't cover up for him. There's no warning needed, and there's no need for him to see the witnesses, and therefore they're allowed to be hidden in this unique scenario. We treat it very seriously, somebody trying to take other Jews off of the path of Judaism. Here the Mishnah is going to say, when we hide witnesses and when we do not. Amar l'shnayim v'hen edav. If he said to two people, that they should go worship idols, and these people are fit, they fit the bill to be witnesses. There's no need to hide any witnesses, because these two witnesses could just simply go to the Beit Din and give testimony against this person. They bring him to court, the judges deal with the case, and they stone him based on the testimony alone. There's no need for any warnings. Amar le'ehad, and by the way, just to bring more context to this, he's hayav mita even if nobody ever does worship idols. The persuasion alone gets the person the chayuv mita. Amar le'ehad, if he tried to convince one person to worship idols, and that's not enough to give testimony against him, you need two witnesses. So what they do here, they try and trick him into saying it in front of more people. Hu omed, yesh li havrim rotzim bekach. The person who he said it to, that one person says, by the way, I have friends who would also be interested in this type of idol worshiper, in this type of idol worship. And if the persuader then goes and then tells the friends, the mesit over here goes and tells the friends about the idol, then he sinned in front of two witnesses and they both could testify against him. But if he was clever, if he was a smart guy and he knows, I don't want to speak in front of other people, and he's afraid that if he speaks in front of other people, they can testify in front of him in court. What do? We hide witnesses behind the fence in a certain place, and that one person we spoke to earlier, he brings the mesit to this spot. And he tells him, by the way, could you repeat what you said to me about the idol? When we in private, repeat it to me over here. The mesit, the insider over here, the person who's trying to bring Jews off the path and have them go worship idols, he doesn't know that there are people hiding behind the fence. So what happens? If the mesit tells him what he told him before, then the other individual who was spoken to and he tried to persuade him, what does he say? He tells him back, he tells him back, he tries to push him back. How do we leave our God in heaven? How do we leave HaKadosh Baruch Hu and go worship wood and stone? If he takes back his words and he agrees he's not going to worship idols, that's fine, and he's not executed. We give him a pseudo warning, a little bit of a warning. If he grabs back what he said earlier, then we don't put him to death. But if he says this is our obligation to worship the idol, it's a good thing for us to worship the idol. The witnesses who are hiding behind the gate, they bring him to the Beit Din, they have a trial, and they judge him, and they would eventually stone him based on the testimony. Here we'll give more examples of what the mesit has to say in order to be liable to be put to death. Ha'omer, e'evod, elech ve'evod, ne'elech v'na'avod. If he says, I'm going to go worship the idol, and he's implying that you should go worship with me, or he's telling him that you should go worship with after me, or he tells him, I will go worship the idol, and you go worship after me, or he says, let's go together and worship the idol, or he says, azabeach, elech ve'azabeach, ne'elech ve'azabeach. He says, I'm going to slaughter the animal, the korban, for the idol's sake, and you should do so after me. Or he says, I will go and slaughter the korban, and you should do so after me. Or he says, let's go together and slaughter an animal as a korban. Or, thirdly, aktir, elech ve'aktir, ne'elech ve'aktir. Or if he says, I'm going to burn an offering of ketoret to the animal, and you should do so also. Or he says, I will go and burn an offering of ketoret, you should do so after me. Or lastly, he says, let us go burn ketoret for this avodah zarah. Anasech, elech v'anasech, nelech v'ninasech. Or he says, I'm pouring wine for this idol, and you should do so after me. Or he says, I will go pour wine, and you should do so after me. Or he says, let's go pour wine for this idol. Or he says, I will bow down to the idol, you should bow down after me. Or I will go and bow and you should bow after me. Or lastly, let's go and bow together. All of these are expressions of persuasion, where he's trying to take the person and have him worship another god. And for these, someone's put to death. We also mentioned another sin in Mishnah Dalet, Hamadiyah, somebody who corrupts the people of a town by trying to persuade them to worship idols. Zeh omed, nelech v'na'avod avodah zarah. This is somebody who says, let's all go worship a certain idol, even though here the person who persuades an individual would be obligated for that one person the attempt on the one person. Here, a madiah, it's only if a person is trying to persuade an entire group of people to act together. Let us go worship the idol. That's how it would have to happen.